Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol and is refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at wefund.app. Terra Spaces appreciates the support of all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have Minerva's Wine Wednesday, Focus Argentina. Let's take a listen.
Great. So let's take a few minutes to allow other people to join us and then we kick off. Okay.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right. I'm going to post on our Discord and Twitter so that people are aware of our event.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
We can hear you. So usually we take a few minutes to allow everyone to join us. It's going to be like 2 or 3 more minutes and then we can start.
No problem. I have time, so no problem.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
No, my pleasure.
All right, let's do 2 more minutes and then we kick off. Hello, everyone over there. I can see some familiar faces. Thanks for joining today. I know some people are a little bit late, but are going to join. A couple more minutes and then we start. All right. I think we are going to kick off. Yeah, so let's start. Okay, everyone, we have today Carolina Fuller from Bodega Corazón del Sol, which is a vineyard located in the Uco Valley, Argentina. Caro, thanks for coming today. We are doing this space that is live now, but it's also being recorded as part of a podcast that we are putting together that's going to be available on other platforms. Thanks for coming and say hello to the audience.
Okay. Hi, good afternoon here. Lovely to have you all here online. And for me, it's a pleasure to be invited. It's always lovely to a bit to communicate what is happening here, what is happening in Uco Valley and in our sort of beautiful winery also.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for coming. I think we can kick off by talking a little bit about you, Caro, your background, how you started on the wine industry, what's going on in your industry.
Okay, well, I come from tourism, so I was originally working for the airline business, and then later on I had my own hotel for about 15 years. And I came into the wine business through tourism to develop lodgings and the visits to a very important winery in the Uco Valley for Salentine. And I worked there for 5 years. And then I went on to another beautiful project, which is Tapiz, Club Tapiz and the winery. And I've been now in Corazón del Sol already 7 years. I am a sommelier. I took my degree in 2012, but basically I've been a bit in mixed sort of bag in tourism as towards hotel, and I came into the wine business through that line. And then I obviously, the wine business is a passion. It's already a way of life. So very excited to continue in this journey. And of course, I have had the privilege of working for very incredible wineries and very incredible sort of people in the wine business that have taught me a hell of a lot. So it's exciting. And at the same time, after this sort of situation, very challenging situation of COVID, it's nice to be sort of connected and be back. Things have changed, but it's very exciting what is happening nowadays.
Well, that was one of the questions I have talked about. So you mentioned it. So COVID brought a lot of change to many industries, and the wine industry is not the exception. So I was wondering how things changed for you, how things changed for the wine industry. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I think we all had to reinvent ourselves. And in my case, that I come from other different sort of situation as towards communication. I remember I come from the telex machine, so that's pretty long ago. it's incredible how we've managed to reconnect with the whole of our customers by doing obviously online tastings, and how it's caught up the fact that we are able to communicate directly to our customer and to share a whole lot of, at that point, I think during COVID, it was more emotions through wine because we were all sort of cooped up. But it was nice to know that we could actually sort of taste. We were able to do very interesting things. One of them was, for example, we did a wine tasting with the Sonoma University, nice. With the connection with a wine business sort of course. And we could do a tasting with people in Belgium, people all over the US. So that was really, and show the winery. And so it was really, that was very exciting. And then other tastings with European managers that couldn't come down here. So the company that contracted us for doing a virtual tasting and also sending the wines. Then with doctors that were in the front line in Buenos Aires. So we did a sort of, obviously, we gave away our wine so that they could do a wine tasting and enjoy just a little a breather in their schedule, very hectic schedule of looking after all of us so that we could survive this COVID. So all that, I think, was a lot. We learned a hell of a lot, and we understood that we have to use the networks as much as we can to be able to connect. And another thing is that sometimes it's very sort of generalized, and I think that this we've realized that we can do a one-to-one, we can connect directly with our customer and sort of hear him out and understand what is it that they want and how we can sort of produce better wines also with understanding
quite a challenge,
the critique.
I guess.
It is. I think it is. But it's always a growing challenge. We have to grow. If not, we just stay stagnant in our situations. Yes.
Okay. Much
yes.
better. Okay.
I think so.
Before
yes.
I forgot to introduce our co-host who is connected here, Luis. I think you two know each other, but for the audience, Luis is Minerva's own sommelier. He is part of the sales pod at Minerva. He is helping us to get in touch with vineyards and merchants from different parts of the world in our attempt to build our platform. So, Luis, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes. Hi. Hello, everyone. Hola, Caro.
Hi, Luis. How are you?
Very
All
good.
Right. Luis, feel free to jump in when you want. Okay. So, Caro, for your awareness, we do this space every week. A couple of weeks ago, we had sommeliers from South Africa, and it was very interesting to know their perspective regarding the South African wine in the world. So I wanted to ask you the same question. How is the Argentine wine doing in the international market? Is it growing? What do you think about the international customers? Are they looking for Argentine wine? What is their experience?
But I think that there's been a big change. I think this fact of being cooped up and sort of exploring a bit more different wine markets has been, let's say, to our favor. I was right reading the up that the exports last year had increased really a hell of a lot. So it's interesting that we are reaching other markets, that we are a country that's producing wine and is standing very, very firmly in the wine business because of the amount of ratings that we've got, the exposure. The fact that we have these incredible wines that can compete with the rest of the world with no problem at all, and even though we still are it's a small percentage as towards the rest of the wine business world, but at the same time we are doing it, I think, slowly but surely, as we say. And there's so many new wineries, so many wines coming out into the world that I find that when people come down, we do a lot of obviously one-to-one with foreigners that come down to Mendoza to visit us, and it's lovely to see how they are interested and how they've actually looked up about Argentina, about Mendoza, about the wine business. They are actually sort of quite savvy about the different wines that we have, the different varieties. And then, of course, it's our challenge to communicate to each one that comes to our winery, what is it all about? Why Mendoza? Why, in our case, Uco Valley? And how this is, let's say, our wine is here to stay. It's not just a fluke of luck or one variety that's made us famous. It's about the climate. It's about our soil. It's about our extraordinary winemakers learning every day a little bit more. We have thousands of varieties in Argentina and in Mendoza, so therefore it's just a matter of go on sort of working and communicating everything about our wine. And I think it's been a sort of suddenly was a boom and then suddenly we stopped, and then now it's slowly sort of building up again, and it's for me it's extraordinary.
That's great to know. Caro, since you are specialized in tourism, can you tell us a little bit about how the experience shapes up for a foreigner that visits the Corazón del Sol, for instance? What is the whole experience about?
Okay, I think Corazón del Sol is quite, I think, unique. I don't know if you know the story, but the winery, let's say the investment is within a whole setup which is called the Vines of Mendoza, which is your dream come true if you want to have a little vineyard. And so our investor is, and that's why it's called Corazón, which is heart of the sun. Our investor is actually a heart surgeon born in India, in Bangalore. He studies medicine in India, finishes his studies in New York, and ends up having his own practice in Houston, Texas, where there's sort of very, very famous hospitals there. And our owner is very passionate about the wine. So in 1997, he starts off his new one little winery in Napa Valley, California, Santa Elena. His winery is called Rivana, like his surname. A few years later, he goes to the Willamette Valley in Oregon and falls in love with the Pinot Noirs over there. So therefore, he builds his second little winery, buys 80 acres, and builds a second little winery. which is Alexana. So when he came down to Mendoza and to the Uco Valley, he fell in love with the Andes, which are practically in our backyard. And there he starts all this sort of the concept of Corazón del Sol. And his son is called Arun, which means sol or sun in Hindi. So that's why it's called Corazón del Sol. But the concept is more towards a little bit more communicating wine. We want people to leave the winery sort of wild with information, with a interesting talk. We are both sommeliers, obviously hosting all our guests, so we can cater for conversations from the most basic to to talk about international, about wineries, about we've both traveled, so we can sort of actually have. So I think that in the last 25 years, we have proved to be an incredible destination, especially Mendoza and obviously the rest of Argentina. But the wine business has come here to stay. And all the new generations that have sort of caught up with our wine business and the tourism, we're also really very connected. It's the opening up of wineries. It's the opening up of venues, of new sort of products, of sunsets, of having lunch, having dinner, staying at wineries. There's so many products that have been sort of popping up in the last 20, 25 years that it's incredible and very challenging to have new sort of new things that will attract our customers. We all the same, I think, in the case of the government here in Mendoza, we've got lots of things which have become pretty heaven in the park San Martin. And then others like tango through the wine routes, classical music through the wine routes. All those activities have sort of gone beyond our frontier and people are coming specifically for that. And then each winery has, depending on what is their focus, is if it's marketing, if it's selling wines, each one knows what is their business. So therefore, each one has to decide which venue they're going to go or which road they're going to go down. But there's incredibly attractive sort of programs of harvesting, of coming to, I don't know, to prune, interesting things that make everybody sort of enjoy the wine business at the same time, learn a little bit more, because that's what they come, apart from sort of obviously they want to enjoy the beautiful wines. They also come to learn a little bit more about what is happening. And I think in our case, I think Argentina in general is educating. It's not only about people popping in and drinking wine and going to the next winery. It's more about communicating why we are here, what is happening with Mendoza, why the vineyards, why the climate. And answer all the questions we can so people are really sort of, they're our communicators. After you finish a visit with us, you know such a lot more that you are able to understand a whole lot of things and not just look at the bottle and say, oh, do I like it or don't like it? Yeah, it's more about what is behind each bottle, not the effort.
That sounds great. So it seems like there's a lot about experiences, about the experience the people can get in the vineyard and the story you can tell. And it seems like they relate to the brand differently after they engage with you, I guess. So yes. we have Luis over here. Luis is also, he also works at the Vines. By the way, let me tell you, I've been at the Vines last year and it's a dream come true, as you said. It's a wonderful place. It's beautiful. The landscape is amazing. So I had a great experience over there. And Luis works there too. So probably you can join, you can share your perspective.
Yes, Corazón del Sol for me is one of the high-end winery boutique, but fits all the profiles. They make highly rated Malbecs, top 100 wine spectator, but now they're making different grape varieties from a rosé of Grenache. For me, it's the best rosé in Argentina. So for people that are interested, they have to almost pre-order that rosé. It goes out very quickly.
Wow, that's incredible.
And what I like is that now with new generations here in Argentina, we look for something different to drink. And I think that winery fits that style also, because the aside of the Malbec, they do a wide styles of wine.
That's great.
Thank you for that, Luis. Yes, we do. We have a very soft spot for the Grenache, which we planted in 2008, the first winery to actually plant Grenache in the Uco Valley. And we brought the cuttings from the northeast part of Italy. So therefore, we are very much, and the rosé is a really beautiful, beautiful wine. And also, well, it's got quite an incredible package, because we brought the bottle from France. We brought the stopper from the Czech Republic. So therefore, it's quite interesting what is with that wine. And then we have a GSM, which is a co-fermentation of Grenache, Serra Mourvèdre, which is also, I think, the first one that it was actually done in Mendoza, no, because, and in Argentina actually, because our doctor loves his GSM and he has one. It's a co-fermentation of the Grenache Serra Mourvèdre, and our first vintage was 2011. So we're nearly over 10 years old already.
Wow, that's impressive. Luis mentioned something about the new consumers, the new generations, and I think it's something interesting to discuss, because, you know, as time goes by, new generations relate to wine, but probably they do it differently than the older generations. So I wanted to ask you about your take on how young people relate to the wine industry, if there are differences, if you notice something new or some trends over there.
Well, in my case, yes, I believe that let's say we've had a lot of young people coming to visit us, people that are maybe, as you said, sort of this change of working online and be able to travel whilst you're working. And so they come to the tasting room, really sort of young people, very interested in the wines and also very open-minded. Before it was sort of a lot to do with the Malbecs, to more traditional varieties, and now they're open to explore. And also they're very interested in buying the wine and investing. These are not... They don't go cheap. They're very well priced, but they don't go cheap. So therefore, for me, it was quite a surprise to see a younger generation really spending quite a bit of money in the wines, but also very open-minded and excited when they try something new and something that they didn't know existed, or sort of combinations or sort of blends or co-fermenting. It's so lovely to have these sort of very open chats and exploring, you know, different tastes and different sort of different varieties. So therefore, that's also, I think, is a big change, this open-mindedness towards exploring and finding it exciting to try new things, no?
Yeah. True. It seems that there's a new way of living for new generations. I mean, there's a lot of remote work, so I guess many people are visiting vineyards while they work anywhere in the world. So that's something new. And you mentioned something about investing in wines. They don't go cheap, so that's very interesting to. Luis, what's your take on that? What's your take on the new generations? How do you see the market? Do you see something is changing over there?
Yes, like Caro mentioned, I think now there's a lot open mind in terms where before the consumer liked a certain style or a certain winery and wouldn't try something different. And now the young generations are open to everything. It doesn't matter if it's a big winery, a small winery. And the price, that for me is also important. They see more the value of the wine. So end up consuming high-end wines.
Yeah, true. That's great. So a lot of change going on. Actually, we at Minerva are trying to merge two industries that one new industry, which is blockchains and wine. So we are targeting these new generations because we know they relate to products and brands in a different way. And now there are new tools to grow and foster that relationship. So that's our goal over here. So Caro, I wanted to ask you if you see anything new in technology, if that's something you see on your role as a director of sales, or if there's someone else looking at what's going on in terms of technology and the industry.
Yes, I think there's I've seen a few sort of something like the tokens and other investments as towards, well, obviously buying wine by the barrel and having it being kept by the winery. I think there are a whole lot of things that are popping up which are, let's say, fascinating as towards the wine industry, because nobody thought it could apply to something as sort of as unique and as growing as a wine, no? So as I say, I think it's interesting that people are hooking up and to anything that comes out of the wine business. So it's a great opportunity at this time, and using creativity is to attract those customers that enjoy the wine to other, obviously, other sort of investments or other sort of, as I say, businesses that are related with the wineries. You see a lot of people already investing in wineries itself, or investing it like in the vines and vineyards and making their own wine, or making wine around the world. So it's a great opportunity because of the incredible sort of amount of customers that are there available that you have to hook on, obviously, with a good story, and so that they understand where is it that this money is going as towards investment.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Do you see that wine investors, I mean, the number of investors around the world, is it growing? Do you see a trend over there that people are buying wine as a way to invest?
I think there are still a lot of wine collectors and people that suddenly found themselves with a surplus of money because they weren't traveling, or they were sort of maybe they weren't doing the things that they usually do during the year, like going out to dinner, etc. So I think at one point they found it attractive to build up their own little cellar. So I found a lot of new people sort of even considering and looking at our cellar and saying, look, we could do this, we could do that. And everybody's sort of talking about actually building their own cellar. So that was interesting because I hadn't come across so many, at least in Argentina. Maybe around the world, I know, of course, because I've seen a whole lot of videos and these incredible sellers that a whole lot of people have, but I hadn't seen it so sort of booming, especially when you people building a new house maybe and saying, but I am actually sort of saving a place specifically for my wine, no? And that.
I think we have a connection problem again.
Sorry, it comes and goes.
No worries.
And this time is everybody's getting homes at this time, so suddenly the lines are getting cluttered. But as I say, I think there's a new venue with people actually focusing on building their own little cellar for their new house, which before I didn't see that many people sort of focusing on a specific space for the house. It was okay. Well, I've got a cellar. Well, I'm gonna sort of maybe look for a little corner in my cellar, and maybe we'll sort of put some wines there. But now it's no. I am building a cellar for my wines with a certain sort of shelving, with a certain sort of amount of bottles that I want to have, with a tasting table. And so it's interesting. It's very, very interesting, this big change as towards how important the wine is in their daily life and in even their whole home project, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, we have talked for a little bit more than half an hour, so we are about to wrap up here. Caro, thank you for being here. But before we wrap up, we are going to open the space for questions. We have someone over here. We have Sugi, I guess.
Hi.
How's it going?
Can you hear me? Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the challenges, or if any, that you guys have faced as a vineyard over the last couple of years.
Well, we have a sort of in general, we have a privilege as towards climate. So in many ways, our climate is fantastic. But if you're talking about the growth of the vineyards and the amount of investment in the vineyards, we have to invest a hell of a lot. Now we have we've had about 7 years of each time less snow in the mountains. So therefore, that is the climate is a bit of a challenge. But in general, compared to the rest of the world, we're sort of a little bit in paradise. On the other hand, there has been maybe sort of low, obviously, as due to COVID, a lot of the work, the hand pickers that would come to the province of Mendoza haven't been able to travel in many ways. So therefore, you've got maybe a change of venue as towards bigger wineries using a machine to harvest. I hope this is referred to that, basically.
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm. But we are, in our case, I think because we don't have an enormous vineyard and we sort of specifically harvest each variety at its own sort of maturity stage and at its own pace. And in general, we have the vineyards all in one, practically all in one altitude. So that is an advantage. If you have vineyards in different altitudes in Mendoza, you could go up to 3 months harvest because you start obviously with your white grapes at a lower in a lower area. I've worked for wineries that have vineyards in Maipú, in Luján, and in the Uco Valley, and they practically sort of have to work 3 months, which is, it can be quite exhausting. But on the other hand, it's because you want to have the best grape. And we have practically no pests. We have to do only 2 preventive sprays. That's it. So that's another incredible privilege as towards, obviously, economically and health-wise. Our wines are really, really sort of healthy wines. It's the sun is in our wines, as I would say sometimes, because they're bright, they're juicy, they have the personality of the variety, which is also very marked, especially in my area in the Uco Valley.
I mean, it sounds very dreamy.
It is. I have a privilege. I work in paradise.
Yeah, I think I need to take a trip to Argentina.
Please do.
Thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
All right. If anyone else has a question in the audience, please feel free to request the mic. If not, Caro, I want to thank you on behalf of Minerva. It's been great to have you over here to talk about you and the wine industry from your perspective. I think it's enlightening. And I think we have a question over here. Let me check if I can Okay, let's see if Victor, I think Victor has a question. He's connecting as a speaker. Victor, can you hear me? Victor, if you are, if you can hear me, you have the mic and you are muted.
Sorry. Okay. There it is. Hi, everyone. I'm Victor. I'm from, I'm from Ensenada, Mexico. Carolina, I wanted to ask, how do you see sustainability certifications as a asset or a complication for vineyards and wineries, please?
I think it's a responsibility, no? Nowadays, I think that we have global warming and all the sort of climate changes at our doorstep. It's not 20 or 30 years from here. It's actually knocking at the door. So therefore, I think Mother Nature has pushed us towards it. And on the other hand, I think it's a certain responsibility as towards the world in itself to be sustainable and to try to use the practices as much as we can. We have an organization in Argentina, which is Bodegas de Argentina, and you can actually certify. They have been sort of authorized to certify to sustainable. So it's interesting that it's getting easier, let's say, because before it was like, oh, and who do I do it through and who's going to certify and who's going to come and sort of recheck. So therefore, in our case, we are going obviously towards being sustainable. At the other, on the other hand, also towards organic, organically grown grapes. We hope that maybe next year we already be able to certify. And I think it's a tendency that is come here to stay. I think we all have to feel, as I say, responsible for our environment, and especially the wine, which is for us is part of our daily life and our food. I think we have to look after it so that it obviously stays on in space and time, no? And we're in this world, so I think we have to share it and be able to look after it, as I say.
Thank you, Carolina. Very kind. Appreciate the answer.
I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Pleasure.
All right. Anyone else wants to ask something to Carolina? Please request the mic. Let's see if someone else pops up. While we wait, I want to tell the audience to check the our Discord. It is where we share all our progress related to building the platform, the Minerva platform, in which merchants will commercialize their wine. We are moving forward. We are making progress, and we are sharing everything over there. For those of you who are not part of our community yet, you are invited to join us and share our progress over there. So, okay. I think we don't have anyone else, so probably we can wrap up now. Once again, Caro, it's been a pleasure to have you here. It's been very informative. I think all of us learned a lot. So thanks so much for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. And of course, if anybody comes down here to visit us, be delighted to host you at the winery. And well, we'll all keep in contact, I believe. So thank you very, very much for the invite. And I hope I was sort of clear, at least with some information, some
very
beefy
clear
information.
Yeah. Very clear. All right, everyone, thanks for joining us. We're going to end the space now. It's going to be recorded and it's going to be available on other platforms. We're going to keep you posted. Okay, so thanks again and have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, have a seat. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ciao, Caro.
Ciao, Caro.
Ciao, Luis. Gracias.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Minerva's Wine Wednesday, Focus Argentina, recorded on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pump and double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes, and take the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
Directing impossible, defending the plausible from ending demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and tuck everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall. All hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject. So feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences down, how they draw conclusions and find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.
Terra Spaces.